Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I've never heard of that mascot showing up at birthday parties.
Oh, he did. I wonder if his wife had to call him Harvey.
You hound dog, Harvey.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
I'd like to start the show with a scenario that went down yesterday, and I want people's thoughts. Tyler, Mulls, Pooley, your thoughts. I left radio yesterday, and I had to go to the panel, which is in this building. And what I do is I just park my, I pull my car out of the spot and I go down and park near where Studio 6 is. And I get a text, because I know you guys were off at 6:23. Text from Brian Hayes. It says, I've got your jacket, your overcoat. I'll just bring it tomorrow. Who does that?
Couple things on that. First of all, Pooley, good to see you, buddy.
Great to be here.
Good to see you, Pooley.
Listen to me right now. In my coat is my fob to get in my building, parking garage, keys to the house, my wallet, and who knows what else is in. But I needed my jacket.
Do you know how much I hate that jacket? Do you know how close I was to setting that jacket off in flames last night?
But who's so stupid to say, I'm going to take it home? And
here's what happened.
It's winter, by the way, too.
Dude, it was like 6 degrees. I love how you say, I was in the building, yet you had to drive to get to where you were going.
Way down at the other end of the building.
Yeah, it's a 9-iron around the corner.
But that's what I do. You
I know that.
You know that.
But that's part of the problem last night. So you left your jacket in the studio. And we work in a building here.
Or if you leave a Sharpie, it's stolen.
Mysteriously, things disappear. It never makes sense, and it's not even that it's from a nefarious position. Maybe someone just picked it up, puts it somewhere, and next thing you know, it gets moved somewhere else, and it's gone. So I thought to myself, after Craig actually brought it to my attention that you had left your jacket, I said, you know what? I don't want to leave it here, because it may end up being out the door, and someone's going to take it or steal it.
Jeff, step outside and grab your jacket. I've got it in my truck.
But you're on the panel, dude. I'm not going to be that guy. How often do we talk about people that call us between 4 and 7 and say, why aren't you answering your phone? Because we're on the radio. I know you're on TV, so I didn't even think about the fact that you could have left your home keys, your wallet in your coat. I thought I was doing you a favor.
You know that my truck is open 24 hours a day.
Which is a shocking move.
Usually with the keys in it.
Generally running. And listen,
and I ended illegally up parked.
Always illegally parked. Always. But I ended up driving the jacket back. You do realize that.
So I'm the winger that absorbs an absolutely irate centerman, Jeff O'Neill, last night in the panel, who says, listen to this, Pooley.
And you just carved me up last night.
I'm thinking, why would a guy take the jacket home?
To do you a favor.
It was the right idea. But the wrong move. You got to say, where's your truck? I got to throw this thing in your truck.
You're right.
I think he was going out to dinner and wore the jacket. Oh, that's what I think.
This is a grubby old jacket.
Oh, it's not the most impressive jacket in the world. But honestly, that's why I brought the jacket back, though, because I'm like, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't ask me to take it, but you also didn't have your life affected one way or the other. So I don't think you have the right to have steam coming out of your ears. Nothing changed from your life
last
night.
Well, my first thought process was, what is this guy thinking? Just, where's your truck? I'm going to put the jacket in the truck.
Would have been the right move if your truck was parked right outside here.
Don't even give me this garbage about you driving back here, because I offered to send an Uber to get the jacket and bring it back.
Do you think I would have ever lived that down, Pooley?
All I know is he plays really well when he's angry, because he had the best pregame show. He was on fire on the pregame show.
Is that right?
His intro. Like his introduction with the Leaf jacket on and his Austin Matthews stroll into the building.
I heard about that.
I think all of that was because of the jacket.
I hate that jacket so much. It ruined my night.
All because of the jacket.
I hate that jacket so much.
I'm going to give it to you when I'm done with it.
Thank you.
Wrapped up.
Well, the moral of the story, kids, is don't ever do anything nice for people.
No, it's also use your head, too. Like, I literally said to you, I kind of need it. Because you were like, you don't need the jacket. Bring it to
him. Let's be honest. He didn't really need it. You could have called. You live in a condo building.
Do you like to live by yourself with no money, no car, no fob to get it? Like,
no
I need
wallet.
My.
You could ask Pooley for 20.
No wallet. Your wallet was in there.
My wallet.
You could have given him $20.
I could have fronted him 10, not 20. I could have fronted him 10.
All right, $10.
No, I don't like that. I don't.
Dude, you ask everyone else in the world for free stuff. You can ask for money with the idea that you're going to pay him back the next day.
Well, you know how he found out he didn't have his wallet. He said, I got dinner, guys. It's on me.
Oh, right. He was being charitable
last
night.
And then he reached for the wallet. Didn't happen.
I don't know.
Listen, I get it, man. You didn't do anything wrong. That's why I brought it back. Like, I got home and I was talking to Erin, and she's like, well, he can probably survive without it. I'm like, it's not his fault. But I was doing it for the right reasons. You understand that?
I do. Because your head was in the right place.
You know the way this
what was inside your head was not working properly.
Yeah, and that's and the worst thing is I drive it back, so I'm listening to the game on the radio, and I missed a lot of the game last night, and I drive into the parking lot here at the TSN building, and I see your car, and it obviously hasn't moved the whole night. I drove right by that car at 6:25.
Could have dropped the jacket in it.
The door was open. I could have just pulled over for 2 seconds, thrown the jacket in there, and taken off.
You just said it.
No,
you just said it. Simple text, where's your truck?
I think the poll question has to be, considering your life was not altered at all, you didn't do anything differently last night.
Wrong.
No, but I don't think you have the right to be rattled because nothing changed from your life. By the time you walked out there after the game, your jacket was sitting there.
But he was forecasting what his night was going to be like with no fob, no wallet, no keys, no anything. And he played really well.
Well, that's good to hear.
Had a really good
I
game.
Missed the whole thing because I was driving back and forth all over the city for that stupid code.
It was a weird game. There was waves for both teams and some weird goals.
Yeah, Leafs Buffalo, actually played very well.
Yeah, they had a bunch of shots. They had
close to 100 launches on net there.
Yeah. Like our buddy Mike Kelly tweeted out something after the game that they had something like 46 shots from the slot last night, which is a record this season. No other team has matched
Johnson
that kind
was really
of number.
Good.
Yeah, he played well. Buffalo.
And Buffalo, they had a couple. They always have a couple guys that are out of it, and they play like heroes when they play Toronto. That wrist aligning's just the heart. And I respect it. You got to play hard. But it's like some of you guys, if you played like that at the beginning of the year, you might be in the playoffs.
No, I said that to I played a lot of games like that on the team that was the better team. And you'd say to the guys, you'd be lined up for a faceoff in the third period, and you look across and you say, maybe if you'd have played like this in January, you wouldn't be 48 points out of first place now. Like,
how about the Eichel tiger roar after his second goal? It's like, okay, we get it, dude, but you realize you've been eliminated the whole year?
That was just an Eichel-Matthews matchup fist pump. That has nothing to do with the game, 2 points.
That was probably about him trying to one-up
That was an Austin Matthews-Jack Eichel matchup fist pump.
Well, that third goal is an awful goal, and, Ray
was
and
it, though?
CeCe.
I mean, the goaltender looked at... He looked a little, but that's a powerful move by Eichel. But Freddie Anderson, I know the Noodles and Marty talk about this position the goaltenders get in. It's like, if you're kind of just standing up there, that doesn't go in. It's like, why are you like crouched down in a goofy position?
I didn't think he got much mustard on it either. It was kind of like a flick shot.
It just went to the right place, but I don't know if Freddie wasn't thinking he was coming across like he did in the first goal.
Maybe bracing himself almost
bracing
for contact too,
coming across.
Well, and Zaitsev took heat, but he could have played it better, I guess. But I don't
know.
He
said he's lost like 3 or 4 pounds. He looks like he's lost 20.
He does look skinny.
Yeah, he looks really frail out there. I don't know what the hell's the matter with that guy. I mean, I hope he's okay, but you got to get some beef on him or something and just start playing better.
Well, they need more out of him.
Oh,
they need a lot more out of him. And this is 1 year, but it's his second year in the league.
Yeah, and it's his first year of an extension that's 7 years long.
7 years, exactly. Like, this is not a scenario where it's like, well, he's been in the league for 10 years, you have a one-off. It's like, okay, this is your second year.
Yeah, what did you do? Fool us in year one, and now you're screwing us over? Like, get it together.
And you got a 7-year commitment at 4.25.
And your first year was at 25 years old.
Right, exactly.
When you played 7 years in the KHL.
Like, I'm not ready to sell that contract down the river, or him as a player down the river. He's had some hurdles.
Sometimes
he's had
a transition. Last year, Morgan Rielly hurt his ankle. There was a transition for him coming back. And everybody goes through tough stretches. It's a hard league. Everybody says that. But sooner or later, this guy, especially if they want to have success in the playoffs, he's got to get his head out of his ass and start playing.
They got 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
They get 2 weeks because, not that it was up for debate, but it's over. You're starting on the road against either Boston or Tampa in 2 weeks. That's it.
Who do you want to play in the playoffs?
I've said Tampa for quite some time, and it was solidified again last night. Like, you lose at home badly to Arizona, they're in a bad spot.
Yeah, they're miserable right now.
They don't look good.
I think Stammer's out.
Yeah, he's a bit banged up.
Hey, don't talk about Craig's Coyotes like that.
They won last night.
They're on fire since January 1st, which is just ridiculous winning games for that team, who I'm pretty sure they could use Dahlin.
Well, did you see that the lottery odds were updated today, and whoever finishes in last place has an 18.5% chance of winning the lottery?
That doesn't seem like a whole lot, huh?
It's not. When the Leafs won, it was 20%.
Is that just arbitrary each year?
Yeah, because last year it was like 17.9%.
The expansion team factored in last year.
Maybe. Yeah.
They did, because they could have, yeah.
I like the TV element and the dramatics that come with the lottery. I'm a supporter of the lottery. I think it's a great event. I think it creates content and it gets people buzzing and people talking. But I'm not a big believer in punishing the fan bases of these awful teams.
You've got to weight it differently.
I would weight it much differently. I would give the last place team a much better opportunity to win it.
You know, it's almost like if you look at the Pro Golf Tour, if you finish in first, you get like $2 million. If you finish in second, you get like 600 grand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, to win it is that much of a difference. And that's what it should be, at least for the first two or three teams.
Yeah.
There are two or three teams in this league who are much worse than the next grouping.
Well, and again, I think the belief, like
Buffalo,
is,
Arizona, they need it. They need it.
Well, yeah, and like Vancouver could use it. There's a couple of Canadian teams that could be in the running. Ottawa, to an extent, although they were in Game 7 a year ago. But I think the logic behind this is, okay, we want to be anti-tanking. We want to make sure that we put these teams' feet to the fire and make sure that they try and succeed and try to win every night. Don't mail it in down the stretch. But you're not really punishing the teams as much as you're punishing the fan bases, right, of those teams. And not all these teams are tanking. Like this year, I don't think
some
they're tanking.
Just bad.
They're
just
bad.
The Oilers thought they were tanking?
Exactly. Someone's got to finish dead last.
They're in the mix.
Someone's got to finish dead last. And if you're a fan of that team
the
who
Oilers
had a miserable
are so
year.
So winning this lottery.
You think they would?
They are absolutely winning this lottery.
That would be a travesty.
I'll sit on Twitter for 4 hours straight.
That would be a travesty.
They're going to win the lottery. Look at it. The last one, it's only been once that the worst team is.
Well, the Leafs a few years ago with Matthews.
Matthews, the only one. So we were saying last night, can you imagine Buffalo rolling in there last night with Aaron Ekblad and Connor McDavid, which are the two lotteries that they lost? Be a little different makeup of a team.
Be a very different look.
I'll never forget Tim Murray addressing the media after they lost out on McDavid. And they did everything to tank. You made a save, you were traded.
They dumped about four goalies in a row.
They were like, I can't play this guy. He's saving pucks.
He won a game.
Yeah. And he was like, man, it's tough. Play bad all year for this guy and you don't get him.
Well, Arizona was doing the same thing. They dropped a three and took Dylan Strome. Like,
not
as
even
bad
in the league
as
right now.
As bad as it is for Buffalo, at least they got Eichel. You know? And Strome may develop into a player. I don't know.
He's up now. He's playing. He tore up the American League in the first.
Yeah. Like, he's still got, he's 20. He's still got a lot of opportunities here and a lot of time to build up his resume. But Marner's already on pace for 70. You know, Werenski's having a great year.
Provorov's
a good player. You know, Hanifin, say what you want about him. He's 2 years into his career and a pretty good player. Yeah. These guys all went after Dylan Strome. But I would like to see the last place team have better odds. But I would also, I would go away from only the top three teams being available in the lottery and do top five.
Like, really, why do you weight it?
Well, yeah, but why do you have to be attached to the top three? What, like, who made up that arbitrary number where it's we're only going to allow the top three?
Are you happy with, what about getting rid of the lottery and just going back to the old system? The order is the order.
But I like the lottery. I like the entertainment value of it.
Okay.
Like, I'm fine too. With the, you know, last year was wild. All three teams moved up.
One of your more famous moments of your career, actually, which you don't like.
That's right. I'm not a fan of that.
You did it, Neil.
It was a big moment. That's when the Leafs finally completed the tank, and they won the lottery and picked up Matthews.
Talk about changing everything.
Oh!
Like, it's really unbelievable how that single move changed everything.
And yet the Oilers, they win it with McDavid, and it hasn't really changed anything.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there was more to it than just winning the right to draft
Matthews.
I think
touched on this with the Oilers. It's the, how much have they hit on after like a McDavid or Taylor Hall or Eberle? It's like, who? What else have they been drafting? Who's been drafting them? It's like
you don't. Yeah, it's hard to name a third round pick who plays for them or a fifth round pick who plays for them. No. Everybody's from somewhere else.
That's right.
Their whole team is from somewhere else.
Yeah, free agent signings, trades.
Well, really hard to accelerate the process, and Calgary tried to accelerate the process with Dougie Hamilton and Hamonic, and at the time, each one of those moves looks like, well, that's a pretty good move.
I don't know what's wrong with that Travis Hamonic, but I used to watch him with the Islanders, and he was a pretty damn effective player.
He looked really effective, didn't he?
And I watched the Calgary Flames, and I'm like, where are you?
I don't see him out there. He's just in the 3-4 slot. It's
second
pairing. Ask him to be number one.
Yeah.
Well, and they don't have that pick. You talk about the lottery coming into play in Calgary. The ratings, I would think, would be pretty high because you're praying that they don't win it because the Islanders have that pick. So if the Flames pick wins the lottery and moves up, think about that. Not only did Hamonic have an awful year, you may have just traded away like a top three pick.
You already got Barzal for Griffin Reinhart last year.
Right. Not bad.
Bad at all.
Like people, Gar Snow and the Islanders, they've got some problems because they're not a playoff team again.
There's one bigger problem than that.
You know what? My gut, too, is going the other way on that one.
On Tavares?
Yeah.
He's not staying there. He's talked about he wants to win and be competitive. They just missed the playoffs 2 years in a row.
So where's he going?
And they don't have a goalie within sight.
Where do you think he's going?
I think he goes to San Jose.
San Jose.
I do. Think of that lifestyle. Think he goes in and he replicates Joe Thornton. You got Thornton and Marlowe's money. You got a pretty good team.
I think the Montreal Canadiens, or here's my surprise team, the New York Rangers.
He doesn't need that. Think about being under the radar.
I just think about being
under the radar out in California. Thornton picks him up at the airport, shows him around, says, this has been my life for the last 15 years. What do you think?
Hey, man, I don't disagree.
It's a great sales pitch. They got all kinds of dough.
Yeah, they're a good team, too. They won like 10 in a row now.
They got some good players.
I'll give Doug Wilson credit. That Evander Kane trade, that worked out for them. That's the best I've seen him play.
Yeah, he's been money. He's been great. I don't see him in Montreal for all the same reasons why he would leave the Islanders. You're not going to win in Montreal. They're awful. Like, how is Montreal any better than New York?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe San Jose is the place.
Why not Toronto, though? Like, honestly, you start working the numbers out. If JVR's money comes off, Bozak, Komarov, the problem is the Marlowe contract. And I don't think they can get out from underneath that. I'm sure they had a commitment to him. If he's bringing the family up, you're staying for at least the first 2 years. But you start looking at the money that is going to be off the books with this team.
Yeah, but it comes right back on the books in 2 years.
Right, but it's for legit
players. Think you're going short-term with him here?
No, I think you can go long-term with him. I think you could pair him.
Sounds like an agent.
I think you can pair him up with Matthews and say, we're going to replicate that deal. You'll be on 7 years. He'll be on eight. Say they both take $11 million. Try to get Nylander and Marner at around $7 million apiece, maybe less. That's $36 million for four players. That's a lot of money. But the cap could go
quite
up to
a bit of money.
Cap's going up to $82 million this year. Mm-hmm. Those other deals don't kick in until next year. It could be at $84-85 million. Let's say the cap's at $85 million. Four players at 36, and that's your nucleus: Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, Marner. You can make the numbers work.
You got to throw a $5.5 million goalie in there too.
So. But he's already at five. Yeah, you can get that. You got McElhinney at $850. That's pretty cheap. Defense corps is not that expensive.
So you're only going 11 for him?
Well, I don't think he's... How much more is he worth?
They could throw 15 at him.
I don't think any... I think that would be silly, though. Like, I love John Tavares. $15 million?
I wouldn't pay him that
I'm
either.
Not paying him $15 million.
And how old is he?
He's 27, I think.
Yeah, he's young.
I'm not paying him $15 million.
I don't know. I think the West Coast is going to come into effect somewhere with him. I really do.
Well, it might.
More for the laid-back escapist style. I mean, I tell this story, you know, when they were talking about Stamkos and playing in Tampa, we were down there with the Leafs in the hotel right across the street, the Marriott there. And coming out of the morning skate, there were 400 Leaf fans between the hotel and the in the rink. And, you know, the guys were like walking a foot, signing, walking a foot, walking 2 feet, walking 3 feet. It took 40 minutes to walk back for pregame skate. Vinny LeCavalier walked out, sunglasses on his head, shorts on, flip-flops, jumped in a convertible, scooted out. Nobody even looked at him. Yeah.
That's a good life, but yeah. Some people want the other life.
Yeah, they do.
And that's, and how much do we really know about John Tavares?
Doesn't really say. Nobody really knows.
But here's an
very
anecdote.
Very little by his choice.
Right.
We know very little.
Here's an anecdote that I can play here just based on our experience over the years on radio. Almost 100% of the time, and we don't bug him often, when we request John Tavares, he's like, yeah, I'll come on with you guys. And there have been circumstances where I know he has told the PR staff, wherever, whoever it happens to be, like, hey, if they're asking for me, let me know because I'm willing to come on. A lot of players are like, no, I'm not doing radio interviews
because
in Toronto.
Because he doesn't have to do it all the time.
Maybe, or because he's
this
like...
This is the novelty.
It might be.
It's
or
not
it could be, no, I'm cool with talking in Toronto.
Yeah,
I'm a Toronto guy. Get me on radio there. Yeah. I want to have a profile there. Like, you can spin it both ways.
Yeah, summer profile is great for him here.
I don't know. The Leafs are a better sales pitch now than they ever have been.
Be a hard time affording them. I know you think there's a lot of money going out. There's a lot of money that has to be paid, too, to the next group of players.
Mm-hmm. But, what are we reasonably talking about here?
He's going to get... He could very well get McDavid money.
He might. And if he does, so be it.
Yeah.
That happens. But even for the Leaf players, you know, like Matthews...
Matthews gets more than McDavid.
I'm not sure he will now.
Well, they
because
can
of
say
the year he's had.
Just the percentage-based... If you just go percentage-wise and you take a lesser percentage, but the cap is that much more... The dollar number is going to be higher. If you're saying the cap's going to 82.
Yeah, it might. That's what I read last week.
So if
week
it goes
at the
to 82 from 75, he can get.
He might, yeah.
The same
he can ask for it. He's got a lot of leverage.
That's what, as an agent, that would be your angle. Say, well, I just want the same percentage as McDavid got when he signed.
Well, you're probably under your dream scenario. This is all, by the way, people. We're not saying he's coming here.
I'm just mapping out a way that it's not impossible to believe it could happen here.
Well, you're probably moving the Kadri contract if that's something you're going
to
be doing.
I don't know if you have to. It's $4.5 million. He's not getting paid that much money.
No, but he might be telling you.
Who, Kadri?
Yeah, he might be thinking...
30-goal scorer twice in a row.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, now he's a 30-goal scorer.
Twice in a row.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Ray always says he scored 40 once in his career. He was not a 40-goal scorer.
Me too. I did it once.
But you scored 30 2 years in a row. You're a 30-goal scorer now.
I'm a 30-goal scorer.
Absolutely.
In a different day and age.
There you go, Pooley. Anyway, we'll look back in the Leaf loss last night. They got Florida in town tomorrow, and Florida won last night. They keep plugging along like it's... There's a race for the wild card spots in the East and out West.
Boston plays Florida three times, Brian, and in the last game of the year.
That's the makeup game, isn't it?
That's the makeup game, the snowstorm game. But think of that.
That's big.
They keep winning.
And you know what? Gerard Gallant is winning the coach of the year. But if Florida gets in without having Bobby Lou, maybe Bobby Bugner's talked about.
He's got to get some votes. But there, you know, there's a number of guys, for me, Jared Bednar's got to get votes in Colorado.
Oh,
Colorado.
You're right.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Paul Maurice has got to get votes.
Yes, you're right.
You know, there's some good situations where guys have done a really good
job. But it's for second place. Gerard Gallant's winning coach.
Gerard Gallant.
Vegas has an X beside their name. It's March.
That is insane, dude.
Like,
you said automatically they're the worst team in the league.
Absolutely, I said that.
The worst team in the league.
In September, I thought they'd be dead last.
I'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in our group who didn't have them 31st. Anyone.
Yeah.
No matter how much you envisioned Vancouver going south or Arizona not being very good or whatever it was,
and
Vegas was
still
going to be last.
Still with what they've done, and I somehow get to watch, I watch a lot of their games, people are saying, oh, they get to the playoffs, that team will beat them, this team will beat. How could you even talk like
they're
that?
They're really good.
They're really good. They could win, man.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy out there, I sent him a note when they won their first game. He said, I knew we were going to win a game before Thanksgiving, but I didn't know if it was the Canadian Thanksgiving or the American Thanksgiving.
No kidding. Now
really
you got
impressive.
Home ice.
Really
home
impressive.
Ice in the playoffs.
And the people that have been to games out there.
Yeah.
Just the energy and the atmosphere and the way they're doing it is so strong.
Stupid.
I'll
they
tell you
waste
what,
their
somebody
time
took
that,
a picture of a Carolina game last night. It was...
Crickets.
Crickets.
Yeah. It's bad. Bad news. Ray Ferraro coming up. Justin Smoke will join us from the Blue Jays. Their season kicking off on Thursday. He's not in the starting lineup tonight. He was in the starting lineup last night at the Big O. Get his take on how awful that stadium is and how he can replicate a breakout season from last year. We'll catch up with Justin just after 5:30. Raptors in action tonight with Denver in town. Jack Armstrong coming up. We'll start teeing that game up. And we got to get back into the jacket. We got to formulate a poll question here. We got a lot of things on the go.
You weren't thinking, buddy. You weren't thinking. You could have just said, where's your truck? I'll throw the jacket in.
Right. Plus, he had enough jacket issues going on. He had his Leaf jacket. He had his suit jacket. He had a lot of jackets going on last night. He can't be responsible for all the jackets.
Last time I tried to help out, Pooley, I'm not helping out anymore.
It was 6 degrees yesterday, huh? It was freezing last night. Freezing.
How was 6 degrees freezing?
No, it wasn't 6 degrees. I'm talking like it was cold last night. It was minus.
All right. I'll bet you didn't even put that jacket on.
You're damn right I did. You're damn right I did.
I call fake news on that. I would say you grabbed it, chucked it in the back seat, and it's probably still sitting there.
Did you see the snowboard in the front?
I did catch that. I was going to take a picture of the car, and I said, I'm not going to do it.
From the chalet.
Right out of the chalet. Right up front. Just a nice curve on it. Pooley's in here. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Do you guys follow Kim Kardashian on Instagram?
No. No way.
I think that's a rhetorical question looking this way, isn't it?
You're a no guy in that pool?
No guy.
Well, I follow her simply for show prep. I want to know what's going on, right?
Right. Pop culture.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be up with the times. And she posted a spicy meatball of a pic earlier this morning.
Of? Just her naked?
Basically. And I just got a text from my wife saying, now I know why you follow Kim Kardashian on Instagram. And I'm trying to sell her on the show prep stuff, but I feel like you guys might fall for that.
So if she's listening right now, she's like, so the other two guys don't prep the same way you prep?
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
But I'm dedicated to the game, Pooley.
Well, you've got
to
run the show from over there.
That's right. I got to be on top of things. I wouldn't want to miss a very important Instagram post by Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
That could lead to great material on the show, you know?
Yes. But when the other two guys don't know what you're talking about, you're just going to have to wing it, right?
Well, what do you think he's doing right now? Oh, just picked up his phone like it was a duel in the Wild West.
KRD.
Yeah. See, these pics are all sponsored by somebody. Her makeup or whatever, they say put it out there.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I would do the same thing. It's a nice pic. It's not gross or anything like that.
No, I understand that.
Who is she involved with right now?
Kanye West. She's been married to Kanye West for a long time. I think they have 2 or 3 kids. I don't know. That whole Kardashian clan, it's tough. And then they got the Jenners, and it's very confusing. But I stay on top of this stuff.
Yeah.
Make sure that the audience is up to date with what's going on.
The Toronto audience.
Yeah, that's right. See, Johnny Manziel, he's finally reluctantly accepted that his fate is the CFL. A kind of a backhanded slap a little bit. He's going through all these pro days. He's at Texas A&M's now, I believe, and he's trying to get scouted to the point where an NFL team will take a flyer on him. It's not going to happen. They're not going to give him a shot. And he said today, I believe, that if it doesn't work with the NFL, I guess I'm going to end up in the CFL.
I could see a team post-draft rolling the dice on him. If they didn't get somebody in the draft and just say, let's bring him in.
Maybe with the idea of we'll give you OTAs, maybe we'll invite you to the camp, but no guarantees that you're actually even going to make the
team.
Maybe
see if you come to the OTAs.
I don't know if that would work, though.
I would sniff it out on him. I would just say...
In the NFL, you're saying?
Yeah, give him a look. Doesn't work.
He's married now, right? So he settled down a little bit. Maybe he realizes
that... Hey, there's always that risk that he blows up, and but you just release.
If it's no investment, then why not?
It's not. I do wonder if... By doing that, he would lose out on the opportunity to come up to the CFL. Because if he's telling the Tiger Cats, hey, I'll talk to you in late August, they might be like, actually, we won't talk to you because our season will be halfway through.
The thing about the kid is he's got the nickname Johnny Football. That's from college. What Johnny Football memories? Alex Marvez was talking about this with Scotty Mack. From Cleveland, do you have any kind of...
Nothing.
You base it and you're like, remember when he did that or this?
Nothing.
Is nothing.
And freshman year of college. That's it.
Won the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Was as electric as it got. But you know, they wasted a first-round pick on him. That's what they did. It's the Browns. You know, that's how they roll. But
if he signs in Hamilton and they're playing the Argos, you're going to watch them.
I would be all over that. I also think this is going to amplify how ridiculous.
I think Toronto should try to get him.
But this is the problem with the CFL's just ridiculous rules, the negotiating list. If you jump the gun and you put a guy on your list, you have the authority to sign him when nobody else can. You have exclusivity over the rights to Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, that's the way the NHL worked in 1960.
Which is so stupid. It's so backwards. Like, could you imagine the sweepstakes that could come with Johnny Manziel finally saying, you know what, I'm committed to the CFL, boys, come talk to me. Come call me. Like, let's do it. This would lead SportsCenter every single night.
And he would fill your dual role of sports and pop culture all wrapped into one.
Immediately
you could
follow him on
one
Instagram.
Guy.
Yeah, if I'm Toronto.
Immediately, Pooley. Yeah. No, they're not going to do
what
it in Toronto.
Toronto has to do. They won and everything, but they got to put people in the stands.
We talked to Jim Popp about it. He danced around it. He's not going to give an answer. Now, it was partially because Hamilton owns his rights, so there's only so much he can really say about it, but
Hamilton had started negotiating with him as well.
Yeah. They've gone down that road. Some numbers have been reported that they were willing to pay him a lot of money, like relatively speaking, $250,000.
On the CFL, yeah.
Yeah, in the CFL, that's a good amount of money for a guy that hasn't taken a snap of pro football in 2 years.
Could be pretty good
years.
On that field. If he's looked after himself at all, which we don't know.
Well, and how motivated is he?
Five years out of college now?
I would say if he makes the step to come to the CFL, that is a sign that he is legitimately trying to get his career back.
You'd hope.
Because playing in Hamilton, you're not getting on ESPN. You know, this is not the bright lights of the National Football League. The CFL, it gets promoted well. There's a lot of great coverage up here. But if you are committed to going to the NFL, you got to come up here. You got to put in your work. And you better not cheat yourself or think that you can cut corners here. You got to tear it up. And there's no guarantees you will. CFL is a great league. A lot of talent here. A lot of has-beens have come up here thinking, okay, I'll recapture what I used to be.
And do us a favor.
And they don't do anything. Yeah. So it's more of a mental grind than anything else. The Jays wrapping up their spring training schedule tonight in Montreal. Then they're finally in action against the Yankees on Thursday at the Rogers Center. Justin Smoke will join us in about an hour. Start teeing up the season with him. And Rays coming up in just over 25 minutes.
There's a lot of talk going on in the NHL and former retired players about problems with concussions and how they've been mistreated by doctors, trainers. I don't know. And if it was my son or something that was mistreated by somebody, I would want whatever it was. If you want money, I want them to get it. If they want happiness, I want them to get it. But I really can't associate it with it. I played 12 years, 820 games, and I never got a concussion. I didn't have concussion problems. So for these guys, and I also knew, by the way, when I signed up to play in the NHL, it's a dangerous, violent league, and I knew some things that could happen. Would I ever want to get mistreated by a doctor and say there's nothing wrong with you and I go out and get hurt again and I was screwed up? I wouldn't be too happy. And I want those players that are not happy to get whatever they want. Get a lawyer. If you want to sue Gary Bettman, sue the NHL, then I want you to do that, to get whatever you want. If it's happiness, money. But other than that, I don't know much about it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say about that issue.
Well, this is happening with the lawsuits that are currently ongoing. Former players.
Yeah, and if you were mistreated, I want you to get whatever it is you're looking for. And I actually,
if this goes class action, we're in it because we played the game. You understand that? Like, there's a group that's leading it, but we're automatically in that lawsuit if it goes class action because it's everyone that plays is in.
So you would potentially make money off that, or you could get money off that? Is that the way that works?
If that's the way it works.
Could you take your name out of it if you wanted to?
I don't know if you can opt out of it or not if you played. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like,
well, if
this
you played,
is all an individual,
it's everyone that played.
Well, I understand that. And listen, if individual players have a beef with the league and what's happened in the past, by all means, go ahead. Whatever you have to.
The mistreatment is a really tough question. Obviously, we played in a different day and age, and there wasn't treatment. It was almost an unknown
injury. Yeah, there was a lack of knowledge on all parts.
No, I woke up one night in Minnesota. Did you play in the old building in Minnesota when you went up the stairs?
No, I never played there.
So you went up the stairs, right? There were 25 stairs up to the locker room. When I woke up, I was sitting on the training room upstairs in the locker room when I got hit. And so I was out cold, and, you know, however long I was out, and I played the next night in Chicago. That's what you did. Is that mistreatment? No one really knew then. It's hard to say I was mistreated. I was diagnosed. You have a concussion. How do you feel? I'm okay. You know, it's hard to look inside the head and know what's going on there. And to this day, it's cutting edge every day on what they're doing for concussions. They're doing acupuncture. They're doing chiropractors are involved. Therapists are involved. There's so many different aspects of it now. I don't know what to say mistreatment is, or it's really hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing, because whenever guys are, we all say the same thing. We'll do anything to play in the league. We'll do anything. We'll go through a wall. We'll do this. But like I said, if you were mistreated and you feel like you need something out of it, then I hope you get it. Because I don't like to see anybody unhappy.
Well, the world evolves, to your point, Pooley, and the sports world has evolved. Medicine has evolved. I mean, I read a piece yesterday. LeBron James spends $1.5 million a year
on his body.
Mm-hmm. $1.5 million a year. Now, he has the luxury of having that kind of money. Guys didn't have that back in the day. You couldn't spend that. But back in the day, you didn't even think about it from that standpoint. Like, players weren't thinking about their bodies the way that they do now. They weren't as in tune with how they were feeling on a daily basis, how they're supposed to feel going into games. You know, I've always had the same stance, whether it's the NHL or the NFL with these lawsuits. If you can prove that those leagues were doing something nefarious, if they were withholding information, if they knew something and they still forced you to do something differently, then they should pay for that.
But the question,
but I don't know how you prove that. I'm not sure these
lawyers can
prove it.
That's exactly my point. If they did it and it's wrong, then they should pay for it. But I don't know anything about it. It wasn't affecting me. And I'm not going to sit here and say I don't care about the players that were affected. Because I do. And I want you to get what you want. But I don't know how to go about doing that.
Well, when you got hurt, I can picture sitting on the training table, whatever injury it was, broken ribs, whatever injury I had. And the GM would be down there at the time, and this would be the question you would ask the trainer or the doctor, and in turn, management would ask, how long? You were asking it because you want to know
when
how long you were going to be out. The GM was asking it because he wanted to know how long you were going to be out, and he had to make moves. So it was how long? I remember Bobby Clark standing at the end of the training table, just looking at the trainer going, how long? Simple as that. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, how is he doing, or is he going to be okay? It was, how long?
Well, and it still happens. Right, and it will always happen, like on a lesser from a lesser extent. Because if we're talking about brain injuries and concussions, and the idea of basically having a pharmacy in the back and guys popping pills because they were handed them for free and told them to take, you know, copious amounts of drugs without their knowledge of exactly what this was going to do to them, that's a different story. But look at here in Toronto with Leo Komarov. Komarov knows what Andreas Janssen's doing right now. Like, he loves what Babcock said postgame. And maybe he was fully confident that he was returning anyway. But by all accounts, Komarov went up to Babcock a couple of days ago and said, I'm good. Like, get me back in the lineup. And I guess they went to him and said, actually, you're not good. But that's Komarov realizing, I got to get back in the lineup.
Yeah, because I don't want to be sitting here like Matt Martin, who doesn't get back in the lineup.
I may not play again.
But Leo Komarov would be doing that even if Johnson wasn't playing well. If Janssen wasn't playing well, he'd be doing the exact same thing, because that's Leo.
Exactly.
Leo's old school.
He made that decision. But what I'm saying is, in 20 years, I don't want to hear from Komarov saying, well, they forced me back. No, they didn't force you back. You were pushing to get back. You wanted to get back.
I'm really hard-pressed that forcing back part, no matter what the injury was. Guys want to play. I mean, you want to play. You know, you played X number of days after whatever injury. And if it's the playoffs, guess what? The timetable accelerates because you're done shortly.
Yeah. There's a reason why a team loses in the playoffs. They go through the injuries of what's occurred. This guy was playing with a broken hand. This guy was playing with a knee problem. It goes on and on and on because they want to play. They want to win.
Mm-hmm. Listen,
no one is making them play. The hard part about, you know, if I break an ankle or whatever, break a hand, there is an absolute to it. Okay, is it healed? Can you hold your stick? Can you do these things? The head, we don't know about.
I had a former player accuse me the other day that the Gary Bettman pays my bills. I'm like, what are you talking
about? But that's just ignorance. Like, there's a lot of guys yelling and screaming. They have no idea what's actually going on in the real
world. I'm like, I get paid by Bell Media.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's where a lot of these guys yapping away. Let the lawyers deal with it.
I don't need that.
It's not going to help anyone's cause, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see where it goes. I'm not sure how fast this is going to move. I'm not sure what it's going to mean for future players.
You know, one thing you get into, and the Flyers are really, I don't know if Carolina's doing this for you or not, but the Flyers are really aggressively going after health care now for former players. And I think that it's almost a model. And in the States, you don't get government health care, obviously. And so each year, now it's more and more extensive each year. Full physical, head to toe. They're offering every former player that played for the Flyers, even if they played, he had a cup of coffee there. And their goal is to provide health care for that player for his entire life.
That's a great idea.
And they can go to their own doctor's group, and their doctor's group will provide it. And you can go, if you live in a different area, you can go to the whatever team sponsors it in that area. You're not talking about a lot of guys. And that's one thing that the NFL has looked into doing, the NFLPA, is provide health care for them, at least. If you know, if they are complaining that they weren't looked after when they played, provide health care for the rest of their life.
Race coming up just after 5. Justin Smoke of the Jays looking ahead to a new season in a couple of days. He'll join us at 5:30.